About a year and a half ago, I'm gonna move this over, center it up. About a year and a half ago, my wife and I bought a house in Vinings, Georgia, which is on the north side of Atlanta. It's just north of the Chattahoochee River. It happens to be kind of a historical Civil War battleground, and really more of a campground set up for the Union Army. Sherman camped out with over 100,000 men there, and he stayed at the house there in the cross street of Pace's Mill and Pace's Ferry. He cleared all the trees up on Mount Wilkinson and basically planned his attack on Atlanta from Mount Wilkinson. And so there's only about 10,000 people in Vinings now. So you can imagine 100,000 Union soldiers running around would have been quite populated. So Mike Estes, some of you know Mike Estes. He's a member that comes to Atlanta a lot. He's a bit of a Civil War historian. He was excited to bring over his metal detector. As soon as he found out my address, he looked it up and he said, "Oh, we got 2 years worth of metal detecting in your backyard." So he comes over the metal detector, and I was a little skeptical at first. I didn't know if we'd find anything, and Mike found the first 50 caliber Sharps carbine bullet in the first 10 minutes of digging in the backyard. It was only about 2 inches deep in the ground after all those years, because I've got a lot of hills and it wasn't never really farmed. It's too steep, so they might have had some cows back there, but that's about it. So we found a couple dozen artifacts, mostly Yankee bullets, not really any Confederate artifacts, part of a musket, pretty neat. My dad came over last summer to try to find some stuff, and that's when we found out that metal detecting is a true skill set. I own a metal detector, but that doesn't mean I really know how to use one. We pretty much found trash and nothing more than trash. So anyway, this came to light because the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Atlanta was upon us last July. It's been 150 years since the Battle of Atlanta. So my family and I went to the Atlanta History Museum on West Paces Ferry. It's one of the best museums for the South and the just general American history, but specifically Civil War history. I've lived here since 2003, and I couldn't believe it's my first time to visit that museum. They've got all kinds of outdoor and indoor exhibits and gardens, cabins, like a blacksmith shop, lots of war artifacts, and movie theaters. Basically, they show you, they tell the story of the lives of all the soldiers on both sides through the remnants of their clothing, the handwritten letters to loved ones. So it really hit home to me what a destructive battle that we fought brother against brother. My great-great-great-grandfather Montgomery got his leg shot off by a cannon in the Civil War. He's buried over in the family cemetery. So whether it was a Union soldier or Confederate, when they left their home to fight, they knew they were risking life and limb. They both sacrificed a great deal for their own ideals. They bit the bullet literally and proverbially. So this got me to thinking about the expression, bite the bullet. I meant to bring my little display case and show you the bullets that they used, but I walked out the door and forgot it. So I brought this one, but they would literally doesn't taste very good. Bite the bullet with the paper cartridge. They'd ram everything down the barrel of a rifle and shoot it. So history, or the etymology of the expression, it was first recorded in history by Rudyard Kipling in 1891. But in general, the definition would be to endure a painful or otherwise unpleasant situation that is seen as unavoidable. It's often stated that this is derived historically from the practice of having a patient clench a bullet in his teeth as a way to cope with the extreme pain of a surgical procedure without anesthetic on the battlefield. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what they say. So during the Civil War, they were still using black powder guns for the most part. Towards the end of the war, a lot of the Union soldiers had the repeating rifles, but mostly they were using black powder with, and there was a lot of, they bit a lot of bullets, so to speak. So, as Christians, we're called in our life to bite the bullet as well. The consequences of taking the easy way in our lives has serious ramifications. We have the choice to take the easy way out or to bite the bullet, and as Christ says, the way Christ puts it in my mind, was we can take up our cross. So if you turn to Luke 9:23 reads, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So this is a call to action. This is a commission. And to me, that's where I get the analogy to bite the bullet. There are many examples of God's people and his disciples facing challenges head on. I'm sure a lot of you in this room could tell me personal stories about decisions you made to sort of bite the bullet and go through knowingly and willingly go through an unpleasant situation for the sake of your family or for the sake of honoring God. I could stand up here and tell you a few personal stories myself. But instead, for the sake of time, I'll just mention one. You know, there was a lot that have chosen the more arduous road, the more painful road, for the sake of honoring God. If you turn to Hebrews 11:24, we'll go to one example. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked towards the reward. And that reward is also mentioned in Philippians 3:12-14. Acts 7:22, just jot it down, Acts 7:22 also mentions that Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So he was raised partially by his Hebrew mother and partially by the Egyptian culture for the first 40 years. So you can imagine he's the average guy growing up in Moses' situation is going to say, you know, do I honor my mother, you know, Hebrew slave, or do I honor the Egyptian, my Egyptian family? It'd be much easier just to go ahead and say, I'm going to be an Egyptian, all right? Because it'd be like going from Atlanta, where we've got access to all of the, you know, Costco and fresh foods and air conditioning, heat, to just being exiled in the middle of Nevada in the desert, you know, or Siberia, or whatever, pick your country, Iceland. You know, Moses had access to all the modern, he was learned in all the ways, which means basically the Egyptians, they had the architecture, the math, they had all the food production, the fertile Nile Valley, and they built up a large army. It's easy, you know, you can't have an army without feeding it. So basically I'm saying Moses had it made in the shade. He could have easily stayed there and lived out his days, as it says in the verse. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Because sin can be very pleasurable for a time, but it's passing. He looked towards the reward to come. So in my mind, he chose to bite the bullet when he killed that. He Egyptian taskmaster for beating the Hebrew slave. That changed his life forever. He spent the next 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. I'm sure he didn't have it. Life wasn't so easy anymore. But that 80 years of preparation led him to his final calling to bring God's people back out of Egypt. So, in our life, we're called to a life of battle as a Christian soldier, of taking the hard way out. This is a daily choice for us. So whether we endure temporary trials or just the general life of being a Christian, it's not the easy road. We make a conscious decision to bite the bullet. Many people have come to the knowledge, but it's difficult if you understand the Sabbath and the holy days. Even if you have the knowledge, it's difficult to embrace it and make it your own, and to give up Christmas and Easter and, you know, cultural persecution from maybe your extended family, your relatives, the community, or your work, your career. So our commission, what's our commission? We're called by God to bite the bullet in this world, right here and right now. It's an individual commission and a collective commission as a church. Many of you in this room have already chosen to commit your lives to God. You know, we know it's a daily process, but we can take comfort knowing God will provide, will protect us and be with us. You can reference Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. In a time of war, God inspired the prophet Nahum to write, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." You know, in the Battle of Atlanta, Sherman's army burned all but about 400 buildings, including homes and businesses. Estimates of the number of buildings destroyed range from 3,200 to 5,000. In the four-month battle campaign, casualties totaled 37,000 Union soldiers and 32,000 Confederate soldiers, killed, wounded, and missing. So there were incredible catastrophes on both sides. Even though Gettysburg might have been a bit of a turning point, the Battle of Atlanta is said to be another decisive turning point in the war, where the Confederate soldiers lost their will and ability to continue to fight and prevail for their their land. But let us not lose our will to fight. Let us follow God and continue to bite the bullet.